This is the AngloGold Ashanti Sustainability Podcast Series. Let's get the thoughts now of Mervyn King, Chairman of Global Reporting Initiative. Mervyn, what are the most fundamental issues in your eyes that a major listed company needs to consider on the subject of ethics and governance in 2011?
Major issue, I think, Lindsay, is the question of the integrated report. For a long time now, companies have voluntarily done sustainability reports, and many companies, as far back as 2005, 2006, such as Novo Nordisk in Denmark, has voluntarily filed an integrated report, which means reporting in a manner which gives a holistic and integrated representation of the company's performance in terms of both its finance and its sustainability. Now, the reason for this is that the major shareholder, when one does a beneficial download today of the shares on companies listed on exchanges, one finds that the major shareholders today are in fact pension funds. And the trustee of your pension fund, for example, has to make an informed assessment of the sustainability of a business.
Yes.
Before discharging his duty or in discharging his duty of care to you, because you might retire in 20 or 30 years' time. And he or she can only do that with this holistic representation. It's been accepted now by the International Federation of Accountants that it just cannot, in the new economy in which we find ourselves, be achieved by looking only at the financial report, the balance sheet, the profit and loss statement, and the related notes, because that is a photograph of but a moment in time of what's happening in the company, and all the information is backward-looking.
It's interesting that you mentioned voluntary in that statement that you just made. When will it become compulsory, do you think, that integrated reporting?
Well, I hope it never does from a legislative point of view, but that's another issue to be a listing requirement as it is on the JSE. And interestingly enough, the World Federation of Exchanges has a meeting in October, and on the agenda, which will be attended by the great stock exchanges of the world, is the question of following the Johannesburg's lead in making it a listing requirement with an apply or explain regime, so that you would do one and or do it in part or do it in whole or not do it all, but then explain why not. And as I've often said, when looking at that explanation registry, one better make sure as a director or as a board collectively that your explanations would be acceptable to your major stakeholders, because they're your ultimate compliance officers.
I may be repeating myself here, but there was a focus, an emphasis on integrated company reporting in King 3. What sort of trends prompted you to suddenly promote this?
Way back in 2000, we had the World Summit in Johannesburg, and in simplistic terms, it was said that business was a solution to the crisis that the planet found itself in. And we recommended integrated reporting, but in a chapter. And in consequence, companies started reporting, but in a silo. And also, a lot of it was greenwashing, because, you know, a CEO might say to some middle manager, well, we have to comply with this, give us something. But the purpose of sustainability reporting, as recommended, was to show how the operations of the company have impacted during the year of operations on society and the environment, and the environment and society on the company, and how you've built that into your long-term strategic planning. Now, companies are operating in the context, Lindsay, today of three crises. The one is the global financial crisis. The other is climate change. And the third is ecological overshoot, which is sustainability speak for the fact that companies have, and you and I individually have, used the natural assets of planet Earth faster than nature is regenerating them. And as we speak, we need 1.2 planets just for all of us and the companies that use natural assets, or all companies use natural assets, to survive. So it's become absolutely important to get this holistic representation in order, as I said earlier, for trustees to make an informed assessment that the business of this company is going to be sustainable in the context of this new economy, which I've tried to describe.
Well, on that note, I mean, talking about natural resources and the impact on the environment, etc., the mining industry is often labelled, and quite rightly so, I think, as high impact. What does this particular industry need to consider that other so-called low-impact industries perhaps don't?
Well, first of all, there's the question of rehabilitation, I think, which we're all aware of from the mining industry's point of view, but perhaps even more importantly is when a geologist has made a discovery of some ore and a mining house is going to now start mining in an area where previously there'd been no mining. One needs to have a very interactive strategic communication with the community and the various stakeholders in the area, because it's disruptive mining of an area where there's been no previous mining. And this interactive strategic relationship is absolutely critical also from a biodiversity point of view, because mining has an impact adversely on the biodiversity in the area. There might be, let's assume it's discovered in Madagascar. Madagascar is one of the few places left in the world where some very important biodiversity species are still intact, which mining could disrupt it. So the question is, how do you do that, and how do you mine in order to get the benefit economically and benefit the community, but at the same time minimize the adverse impact on society and the environment? I often think of the BP example, Lindsay. If the company had an interactive strategic communication stance and had interactively communicated with the stakeholders on the Louisiana coast to say, we are about to drill the deepest hole in the sea ever, but our geologists say there's a lot of oil there, and if we do strike it, of course your economy in the area is going to improve tremendously. Property prices are going to increase. We're going to need more restaurants, hotels. We're going to need suppliers of goods, and you're all going to prosper enormously. But of course there is risk. This is the opportunity, but there are risks that if one day something happens with the where we've drilled for oil, there could be a spill and could have very adverse consequences. You actually buy the community into the development. You get a partnership going. And I think this is what high-impact industries have to do. And as a result, you had BP, instead of being into a positive, interactive strategic communication, they found themselves in a reactive strategic situation.
Of course, it doesn't soften the blow of the potential disaster, or in this case, the disaster that you've just described. But I suppose that there was communication. So in a way, everyone bought into the fact that it could happen. If we move on now, though, Mervyn, the area of sustainability reporting, probably around about a dozen years old now, and it's quite developed. And since I've been reporting on business and the way businesses report, it's been a startling change. What about the next 5 to 10 years? Where do you see it going?
Well, it's growing and growing. For example, I spoke to the European Commission last year, and the European Commission only last week issued a request why investors in the 27 EU member states should not take account of ESG factors before making their investment decisions. Now, that's a huge step forward. Also, the Code for Responsible Investment in South Africa will be finalized and issued in the next 2 weeks. On that, a CISA has bought in, the FSB, the JSE, and SICA, you name it, they've all bought into this. And that code involves an investment house in South Africa before investing on behalf of a pension fund or you or me personally to look at the ESG factors that a company is dealing with and analyze it as part of their investment analysis before investing your money in the company. And what they must also look at is the quality of an integrated report. You also have the New York Stock Exchange today becoming an organizational stakeholder of the Global Reporting Initiative, which you know is the number one standard set in the world for sustainability reporting. So you're quite right. It's developed and it is growing very fast, because with integrated reporting, which is sweeping the world at the moment, you're going to have to, by law, do your financial report. And then, as most companies, as you've already said, are starting to do the ESG, Environmental, Social and Governance Report, or Sustainability Report. And then you have what we've said in the guidelines on integrated reporting. You're going to have your primary report in which the highlights of the financial and the non-financial are brought in. And it will be shown how the board has applied its collective mind to the long-term strategic thinking of the company to incorporate the critical and important sustainability issues into this long-term thinking, as water is to the beer manufacturer.
Mervyn, I get the impression that South African companies are measuring up very well against global sustainability reporting standards, and it's almost as though we're pioneers. Have I got the right impression?
You have got the right impression, and I think for that we can be thankful that right from 1992, when I was asked to form the committee, which later assumed my name, it was Adrian Cadbury who said to me he made a huge mistake in England by disbanding his committee after doing his report. And then there was Greenbury, there was Smith, there was Turnbull, Higgs, you will remember, and they then combined that all into the combined code of the United Kingdom. Because as Adrian Cadbury and I discussed, governance is an evolutionary process. Of course, the one constant is change in society. And what was good reporting in 1992 is not good reporting today. Corporate reporting is not what it used to be. And consequently, we, the King Committee, have met once every quarter since 1992, and we have kept up to date with what's happening internationally. And then I internationally sit on international boards. I'm the Deputy Chairman of the International Integrated Reporting Committee and Chairman of the Global Reporting Initiative. I chaired the United Nations on Governance and Oversight. So this international involvement of mine has also kept my committee very up to date as to what's happening internationally. And I think also, Lindsay, there is built into the very psyche of South Africans the conservation of our natural habitat. When you look at the enlarged Kruger National Park, I mean, it is larger than some of the member EU states. And all of us absolutely love going into the bush. So I think somewhere in the psyche there is this built-in need to make sure that our companies are also operating as responsible citizens. So I agree with you. It does measure up. And in fact, South Africa, and it's not my say, it's UNCTAD and IFAC, say today South African companies are amongst the best governed in the world today.
And just very briefly, Mervyn, we're talking about AngloGold Ashanti here. Do they also measure up? I also get the feeling from speaking to their executives, their managers and other people within the company that they do.
Absolutely they do. I happened to look at their report last year and it was heartening. They have appreciated the question of materiality and relevance. You know, they focused on those issues and highlighted them in their report. And so I look forward to the next report, because what I'm trying to achieve is that you actually have an annual integrated report that should be, let's say, 30, 40 pages, because your financial reporting in detail, applying and adopting the international financial reporting standards and complying with the law, can be on your web. But you'll bring up into your primary report the critical issues, which you will be entitled to do under the new Companies Act. You don't have to do the whole of the financial report in your annual report. The same, if it was a beverage manufacturer, the most material and relevant factor would be water. So you would bring that up, how you are replenishing, reusing and recycling water, and how you've built this into your long-term strategy, and how you're going to enhance these positive aspects and eradicate negative ones. So in reading that primary report, the test of the quality of that report will be that you don't have to drill down in order to make informed assessments about the company.
Mervyn, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for your time. That's Mervyn King, Chairman, the Global Reporting Initiative.